Good to be here today. We're going to look at John chapter 15. John chapter 15. I'm not going to say much about who I am and my background and all like that. We'll leave that for a different time. I hope you'll get to know me. Some of you folks know me. Some of you need to spend time with me to get to know me. My favorite color is green. And when people hear an evangelist say that, what's the first thing that comes across their mind? The man loves money. Okay, now if you heard that, you're not going to listen to me very good. You got to take me like a nine-year-old. A nine-year-old. A nine-year-old will hear green. You've been saved. You've been hurt and deceived and lied to. And you're going to, what is he trying to say? I've been doing this long enough to figure that one out. So you take me like a nine-year-old and we're going to get on just fine. John chapter 15. It is impossible for you to live for Christ without knowing what the Bible says. You understand that? What the Bible teaches. It is impossible for you to live for Jesus Christ without knowing what the Bible says. Don't forget that. Not what people say it says, you know, Christian literature, primary source, the Bible. You need to spend quality time in this book feeding the new nature that you have in God's presence. You know, you have not because you ask God for a spiritual truth and nothing happens. Well, folks, you're being tried, tested, and proven. You want it now. No, you got to go back a second time. You got to go back a third time. Well, I tried 15 times. But what did he say? Call unto me, and I will answer thee. John 14:14. If ye ask anything in my name, I'll do it. God cannot lie. Often God's people say, well, that don't work. And they give up on the book. Okay, don't do that. You got to spend quality time in this book. Other books, the author of those books can lie to you. The author of this book is not going to lie to you. It is impossible for the Spirit of God to lie to you, okay? So it is impossible for you to live for Jesus Christ without knowing what this book teaches. John 14:23. What did Jesus say? You should know that. If you have been saved for any length of time, you should be able to know what Jesus says in John 14:23. Don't care how old you or how long you've been saved. You should know that. He said, if you love me, you will keep my words. Is that what he said? Did anybody bother to look it up? Do you know that? You know what Jesus says in John 14:24? If a man loveth me not, he keepeth not my sayings. Yeah. I love God. Okay. What did he say? What did he say? Well, what are you teaching others? Matthew 28:18-20. And Jesus came and spake to them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore, teaching all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe whatsoever I have commanded you. You love God? John 14:21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him. And God said, I will manifest myself to him. Whew. Folks, do you know what that's like? Do you know what it's like to walk, talk, and fellowship with God? Not just on Sunday and Wednesday from time to time. I'm talking about 24/7, 365, 66 days a year. Walk with God. Mark 8:34. Whosoever will walk with God. Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself. It's a life of total self-denial. Take up his cross. You're going to have to die. The cross was an instrument of death. Come after me and follow me. And there'd be few that do it. Few that do it. Caught up in their own, I want to do what I want to do and I don't want to do what I don't want to do. Well, you're not a follower of Jesus Christ. But that's not what this is about. It's impossible for you to live for Christ without knowing what this book teaches. I'm sorry. You got to spend quality time in this book with the Lord. I'm not going to let you go. So you should have, James 4:2, you have not because ask not. You should be here this morning in the service. Teach me a spiritual truth. Now, did you take time to do that? So you should have got that at 6 years old. 6 years old in a Christian home. But you should have mastered that. Every time you come to a service, in your devotions, quiet time with God, I'm not going to let you go. By thy grace, O God. And if you are what you are by the grace of God, then you appeal for more grace. By thy grace, O God, teach me a spiritual truth. And if you think it's done some of the way, you've been deceived. You've been deceived. And so that's not even the message. The message is John chapter 15. Get this next statement. Learning to abide in Jesus Christ is essential to overcoming the old sin nature that you have, that you were born with, so that you sin not presumptuously against God. If you cannot share with me today how to abide in Christ, I'm not saying God won't use you, but you'll never grow to spiritual maturity if you don't know how to abide in Him. Before you go, the Old Testament, talking about the showbread, the brazen altar, and what happened in Revelation, you see, you should have already got John chapter 15. It's essential. If you don't live for Christ, you got to get down John. You see, you should have already got that. I was taught that nearly 30 years ago by a man of God. He said, Norman, I'm not that smart. He said, you need to abide in Jesus Christ. Stay united in Him if you're going to grow to spiritual maturity. So John chapter 15, you should know John chapter 15, 5 through 11. If you don't know that, you need to memorize it. And you not just let the Word of God abide in you, okay, John 15, 5 through 11, then you need to obey it. John chapter 15, verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, Jesus said, you can do nothing. Without Christ on the throne of your heart, you're not going to accomplish much. The sin nature that you have, you're born with, was not eradicated. God left the sin nature so that you could say no. See, it would be too easy if we got rid of the sin nature the day we got saved. You see, He left the sin nature so God's people can say no. The sin nature is like the Lord in that He wants to be the boss. He does not want limitations. He does not want to be denied. But Christ wants to be the boss. Folks, this is kindergarten stuff. Wish I had more time. I was telling Brother Bill, I wish I had weeks, maybe months. Take about 2 years. But I don't have 2 years. But there will be a test. I'm going to find out if His truth, John 17:17, sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. I'm going to see if the word of God is abiding in you. And we'll find out tomorrow. So I'm giving you a heads up. And it'll be an open book. I like Dr. Surrey. He's not here, right? Didn't he? Brother Surrey, he always gave us open book. Couldn't have no notes in the book, though. You know, no notes. Y'all figure it out later. Anyway, learning to abide in Christ is essential to defeating the old sin nature that you have, that you're born with, so that you sin not presumptuously against God. And by the way, you should have mastered complaining. Mastered complaining. I have people say, oh, well, David complained. Well, David murdered too. He could have been adultery too, okay? Did he not? And so you're going to pattern your life after David? That's an example. Set for the word is set so we don't have to make the same mistakes he made. You don't have to complain. If you do, you choose to do it. It wasn't your new birth. I mean, it wasn't your upbringing. It wasn't Adam's fault. You complained this morning because it's too cold, too hot. Got it? You know what I'm saying? This is the day the Lord hath made. I want my people to rejoice and be glad in it. That's a decision. Philippians 2:14 says, do all things without... What are you fully persuaded that He wants you to do today? Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from all mouths. How are you going to accomplish all of that? You got to know what the Bible says. You know what the Bible teaches, not what people say it teaches. You got to get in the book. And then you need to make a decision. By thy grace, O God, I'm going to live for you and others. You don't wake up one morning and find that you're living for Christ. You don't wake up one morning and find that you're abiding in Christ. Don't work that way. So John chapter 15, I'm the vine. Why is it so important that you abide in Jesus Christ every day? Why is it important, not just on Sunday and Wednesday and from time to time? Well, verse 5 says that you can bring forth much fruit. For the most part, God's people are fruitless. I don't have time to do what I should. I fear what people say if I do what I should. But Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's not just a strong suggestion. That is a command. And many of God's people go day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, and refuse to do what God says. But I walk with God. Yeah, like a yo-yo. No consistency. Christ never intended his kids to live that way. We're to grow to spiritual maturity. You ought to be further along in your walk with God than you were when you first got saved. Get out in the nursery. God's people love the nursery. Comfortable in the nursery. Toys in the nursery. Well, get out in the nursery. He never intended his kids to live in the nursery for 35 years. No. Grow in grace. 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. So, impossible for you to live for Christ without knowing what that book teaches. Many of God's people get saved, go about doing their own thing, think about Christ every once in a while. What a shame that is. He ought not be treated that way. He did not save you merely to get you out of hell, did not save you merely to forgive you your sins, he did not save you merely to take you to heaven. He saved you so that you might live for him, that you might serve him with your whole heart. First commandment, to love the Lord with all of your heart, right? Except on Friday. Don't say that. Then he goes on to say, verse 6, what if you choose not to learn to abide in Christ? What's going to happen if you say, I've already passed that. You must not know what you're talking about, preacher. Okay? Look at verse 6. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men cast him into the fire and they are burned. We're going to talk about that. Then he goes, verse 7, you want to get your prayers answered? You want to move the heart of God? You want to gain from the Lord what you need? You want to influence this community for Christ? Look at verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Then he goes on to say, verse 8, herein is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. Verse 9, as the Father hath loved me, so continue you in my love. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So, that's what we're going to talk about right now. Why is it so important you abide in Christ? Prayers answered. Look at bearer of much fruit. Let's keep it in line. Much fruit, verse 5. I'm the vine, you're the branches. He that abideth me and I in him, the same bringeth forth what? Much fruit. Are you fruitless? Are you reproducing yourselves in the lives of others? And so Jesus had been talking about the fruit of the vine, but what did he mean by that? What is this fruit of the vine? Well, we are to reproduce ourselves in the lives of others, folks. We're to go out and win them to Christ. That ought to be normal, okay? Not something you do every 15 years. Win them to Christ. Then you to be discipling someone, okay? You ought to be in the process of discipling someone, okay? And teaching them that they go out and minister to Christ. It's the job of every Christian to reproduce himself in the life of another. Not just the pastor's responsibility. I know it's not just the evangelist's responsibility, the deacon, the Sunday school teacher. No, if you are truly saved, you have an awesome responsibility to reproduce yourself in the lives of others. You have the highest calling of God in your lives. You are his ambassadors. 2 Corinthians 5:20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. That is, we are the very representatives of Jesus Christ, God's Son, the King of Kings, and we must, with every opportunity, warn sinners to flee from the wrath to come. Yeah. And so, Matthew 28:18-20, and Jesus came and spake and saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. We talked about that. Mark 16:15, go on the world, preach the gospel to every creature. So, what was Jesus saying here in John 15, verse 5? He said, if you abide in me, you'll bring forth much fruit. Question, are you bringing forth much fruit? Are you a fruitful Christian? Are you reproducing yourselves in the lives of others? If not, it may very well be you have never learned to abide in Christ. I'm just saying it. Hey, I just did not know. Folks, when I come to school, I didn't know you're supposed to think and read at the same time. He ain't nobody that dumb. I didn't know. Comprehend, you know, you put you in speed reading. They put you in speed reading. I went from zero. I couldn't even pronounce the word there 40. It's 30, guys, girls, okay? Yeah. Never learned to read a book until after I got saved. Then I get here, and they want me to comprehend who? I say, you've never done that before. Yeah. I say, how you do that? You know, Miss Rosenhaus, you know what she said? Just like that. You know what she's saying? See, I asked the question, how do you do that? Just like that. Who? What? It didn't take me a decade to get it. Ain't you glad it didn't take me a decade to get what she's trying to teach me? My comprehension rate went over 85% just that one semester. Really? Yeah. It was good. I thought, man, I didn't even know you could do that. Well, anyway, another thing that comes out of abiding in Christ is answered prayer. Look at verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. So what is the Bible saying? It's simply saying this. If you abide in Christ, you can ask God for anything. Anything at all, big or little. If it's the will of God, you can have it. Whoa. Are you interested in moving the heart of God? Are you interested in getting your prayers answered? Are you interested in influencing the community? Jesus said, if you'll abide in me, you can have what you prayed for. That's awesome. Awesome. Like a spiritual truth. How about get ready to forget her? That's a good one. What if you never forgot a spiritual truth? With that comes a great responsibility. What if you never forgot a spiritual truth? You think God's going to say, well, bless his heart, that's just the way he was? That's not who he is. God answers prayer. If it's his will, you can have the very thing that you asked for. And you should know that already. But it's the very nature of God to hear and answer prayer. Psalm 65:2 says, O thou that hearest prayer, to thee shall all flesh come. Mark 11:17, is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations a house of prayer? Luke 18:1, Jesus said, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Yeah. I submit to you that God is a prayer hearing and prayer answering God. And if you can go day after day, week after week, month after month, without getting you moving the heart of God, you got a serious spiritual problem in your walk with him. Because it is the very nature of God to hear and answer the cry of his kids. But you need to be right with God. You need to be in fellowship with him. You need to be united, abiding in him. Psalm 66:18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. I didn't write it. I'm just saying what he said. John 15, verse 7. So you bring forth much fruit. So what was he saying? If you'll abide in me, you can get your prayers answered. So are you getting results when you pray? Are you moving the heart of God? If not, it may very well be you're not abiding in him. Something else that comes out of abiding in Christ, and that's the joy of the Lord. We ought to be the most happiest people on the planet. Yeah. I say, make it a challenge, God. Make it a challenge. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as common man. And God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted, but that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. He knows what's going on. He's up all night. He's in the room. Is he in the room today? All right, give me chapter and verse. How do you know he's in the room? I'm not interested in your opinion. That man told me that. Brother Comfort said, Norman, I'm not interested in your opinion. I want to know what the Bible teaches. You tell me, how do you know he's in the room? Well, my mom told me, this guy said, no. What do you say in Matthew 18:20? Remember, if you're going to live for Christ, you need to know what that book teaches. Not what people say it teaches. Two or three are gathered together in my name. I'm in the midst of that. I don't know how he does it. But he's in the room. Christ in me, Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not Christ liveth in me. Was that religious talk? Was that religious talk by the Apostle Paul? Does he literally mean that Christ liveth in you? Hey, his presence can be real to you. You got to get to know him. How are you going to get to know me? Remember, 9-year-old. If you don't take me like a 9-year-old, you already wrote me off like a bad TV program. Yeah. I'm trying to help you. You'll never be the student you ought to be if you don't learn to abide in Christ. You'll go 4 years, you'll get out of here, you go, and you'll never be what God wants you to be. Sorry. Take another 10 years, and you'll never be what God intended you to be. So, let's go on. Verse 11, the joy of the Lord. Child of God, God intended the child of God to have the joy of the Lord in times of sorrow, in times of trouble. Man, you know, when I say make it a challenge, I don't want to stay at 75 pounds, okay? I want to go on to spiritual maturity. I want to be perfect. Paul called it perfect, didn't he? In Philippians chapter 3, as many as be perfect. I want to be full grown. I want to be spiritually mature. When I bow the knee one day, I want to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's not going to happen by accident. I'm sorry. If you think it's going to happen by accident, you've been deceived. You've done been lied to. Okay? It's a decision. By thy grace, O God, I'm going to bow the knee one day unashamed. That's how it happens. And so that was free. And so the child of God can have joy of the Lord in times of sorrow, trouble, hardship, praise God. I mean, Job 13:15, what did he say? Yeah, though he slay me, though he kill me, praise God, I get to go home. Yet while I trust in him, but I'm going to maintain my own ways before him. He can deliver me, but if he chooses not to, praise God, I'm out of here anyhow. You see how it's not enough just to have the Word of God in you. His Word abide in you. You need to obey. Be obedient to it. That's how it's done. And then you're ready to go to 250, 275, 300. Don't be content. Don't be content where you are in your walk with God. You say, preacher, what's going to happen if I choose not to abide in Christ? Verse 6, if a man abide not in me, is cast forth as a branch and is withered and then cast into the fire and they are burned. Jesus, do you know what Jesus was teaching? Jesus was not telling people how to get saved and stay saved in this passage of Scripture. No, Jesus was teaching us about branches. And I've already got permission from this man over here that I can do anything I want to with this here plant. So praise God. Don't be upset. Most people, they pick on the plant. You know, people won't let me come back to church when I start picking on the flowers. You know what I mean? Okay, it's just a flower, okay? Christ often used a visual aid, okay? Now, we the branches, that's who what this is. Did you see Jesus? You know, you got to use your sanctified imagination. You know what I mean? Jesus says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. He's trying to teach you something, okay? Now, this is you and I. We out here doing our own thing, you know, and I'm going to pop that thing back in here because fellowship with God is not automatic, okay? Relationship, I mean, you don't have to learn nothing. You don't have to abide in Christ, and you're still going to get in. Okay? That's a gimme. But now, your fellowship with God is quite fragile. It needs to be tended to, taken care of. And I don't think we realize, you need to realize that. It's very fragile. And so, I don't have time to go in. That's another whole thing in itself. But you know what Jesus is teaching? Branches and symbols of God's people. The branch is you and I. The vine is Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit of God is that blessed person who is in Christ, hello, and who is in you. And you who cannot function apart from the vine can begin very much fruit, get your prayers answered, and have the joy of the Lord. How did Jesus live his life on the earth some 2,000 years ago? Ask the question. How did he do it? How did Jesus fight the devil? How did Christ fight temptation? I don't know. I'd find out. Luke 4:1, Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit of God, the same thing you got. Yeah, you got the very same thing. I did. Maybe you never experienced a new birth, but I got it. Yeah, he'd be with me forever. Take him to heaven too.
Isn't that good?
Yeah, so how did he fight temptation? How did he fight the devil? He did in the power of the Holy Spirit. And he returned in the power of the Spirit. Luke 4:14, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. When you're controlled by the Spirit of God, filled with the Spirit of God, and the very same Holy Spirit that gave Jesus power will give you power today. And if you think it's done some other way, don't grieve him. Don't quench him by prolonged sin. I mean, you should have mastered complaining. I had one preacher said, we have a little bit of hypocrisy in all of us. I said, well, that may be true. But when I find hypocrisy, a sin, an inconsistency, I deal with the sin, I deal with hypocrisy so that I can move forward in my walk with God. There's a difference. Stop making excuses. Making excuses for the flesh. Don't do that. That's if you want to grow to spiritual maturity. But maybe you're content. Now, you're going to learn some things here. But you're going to have to learn to abide in Him if you're going to accomplish that. Well, he was teaching us the branch of the symbol of God's people. Okay. And you could not function apart from the vine, can be bearing much fruit, your prayers answered. So if you do not abide in Christ, are you listening? You're throwing away much fruit. You're throwing away answer to prayer and the joy of the Lord. And never grow to spiritual maturity. Never be what God Almighty wants you to be. Are you interested in abiding in Christ? Are you interested in learning to abide in Christ? Then you got to agree. Whatever this abiding in Christ is mighty important. Don't you think so? I mean, bringing forth much fruit, moving the heart of God, gain from the Lord what you need, influence others. That's why it's so important, the abiding in Christ. 5, 7, 11. It's on a test, guys. I done told you guys, okay? 5, 7, 11. Fruit, prayers, joy. It gets worse. I like that. No, then what does it mean to abide in Christ? Isn't that good? What does it mean to abide in Christ? Look at verse 4. Jesus said, abide in me. Okay, that word abide here means to be united. What was he saying? He's simply saying, abide in me. Be united in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except to divide in the vine. No more can you except you abide in me. Now, let's take this plant, for example. Okay, you and I both know what's beginning to happen to this branch. Okay, it's supposed to be real. Okay, you got it's real, right? Okay, what's beginning to happen here? Y'all want to go home. You know, he told me I only had a few minutes left, okay? What's beginning to happen here? Well, say it like you might mean it. That's the majority of God's kids today, right there. A majority, a vast majority of God's children today are living life just like that. Withered, dry, useless life as far as the cause of Christ is concerned. Yeah. They've never learned to abide in Christ. Yeah. It's essential. I'm telling you. I'm looking around. I go back to church 12 years and I'm thinking, what's going on? You should be further along than that. Well, they're not letting His truth abide in them. It goes in one ear and right out the other. Like some of you today. Yeah, one in, right out the other. I mean, tomorrow, I'll ask you, why is it important to abide in Christ? I wonder if you'll remember. What's the conditions to abiding in Christ? Do you know the two conditions that Jesus said abiding in Christ? There's only two. We'll talk about that. So anyway, now it looks nice just as it was. Well, it was once abiding in Him, okay? And it looks nice. But I'm telling you what, if this was real, by next month, no, about a week, it's going to become withered, dry, and absolutely useless for the cause of Christ. He'll have nothing to show Christ that He loves Him, like appreciating the new birth, but nothing to show Him that I love you, God. Right? Are we still on the same page? Well, the same thing is true of God's people don't abide in the vine. Do you want to live a withered, dry, useless life for the next 4 years? How about the next another decade? Then don't abide in the vine. That's simple. Don't abide in Christ. I'm talking about our fellowship. I'm not talking about a relationship with God, once saved, always saved. You folks believe that, right? We don't have to go over that. I'm sure we do. I know these men do. Okay. Once saved, always saved. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about your fellowship with the Almighty. What separates your child of God from fellowship with the vine? You should know this. It starts with an S. And we're all guilty of it. Sin. You know, if you do not love God, you're in sin. You know, you don't have to commit an act of adultery to be in sin. All you need is a filthy mind, Jesus said. You should have mastered pornography by now. Oh, but I walk with God. Yeah, great. You should have mastered pornography by now. He gave you the victory over pornography the day He saved you at 5. I did not know that. Well, He did. He did. We make too many excuses. We preach Christ, but there'd be few that live Christ. That's what I've found in the past, in my walk with God in the last 30 years. You don't live out what you profess to believe. That can stop today. That can stop today. It's a decision, you know. It's not complicated. By thy grace, oh God, that's going to stop today. I don't know what the Bible says. Psalm 32, verse 8 says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way that I shall go. Psalm 37, verse 23 says, the steps of the Lord, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Now, if you were a good follower of Christ, you would let God order your steps. When God gave you an order, study to show thyself approved unto God, then you discipline yourself to do what you're supposed to do. Yay! Right? Somebody say, get like this here. Put a smile on your face. Folks, still kindergarten. I'm still talking about practical Christianity 101. Don't you want to grow to spiritual maturity? Don't you want to be what God Almighty wants to be? Don't you want to turn the world upside down? Surely you do. Well, sin. I don't know what it is in your life. I got some things I got to look at for. Yeah. As I walk with God and I live in His presence, He won't tolerate me complaining in His presence. I wish I could get by with it. I just don't know. He said, do all things without murmurings and cuties. He said, no, I don't want you to complain out loud. I don't want you to complain in your mind. Oh, I thought that my thoughts, Ezekiel 11:5 says, I know the things that come into your mind, every one of them. See, knowing what the Bible says, what the Bible teaches, then I can live, what, Psalm 119:9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? And taking heed thereto according to my word, oh God. Right? Are you willing to pay the price? You want to grow the maturity? You want to be what God wants you to be? Well, what brings the child of God back in fellowship with the divine? See, out of fellowship, you can live like that if you want to. I mean, you should have mastered the stop sign. God's people don't even stop at the stop sign. I'm thinking cell phone, telemarketers. They get so frustrated, brother. You know, they hang up the... I said, man, you should have mastered the telemarketer. My man, ain't that crazy? Hey, would Jesus answer the phone like some of you folks answer the phone? Hey, if you abide in Christ, you'd be surprised what you can do. But anyway, you just love on them. Be gentle to all men. But anyway, okay, now, fellowship. First John, he said, if you confess that sin, see, the reason you ever got victory over complaining, you don't see it as God does. You've never truly confessed it. It's like riding a bike. Right? Riding a bike. Did you ride the bike the first time you got on it? You ride, you fall. Some of you folks just keep falling. Some of you give up. You just say, oh, it's too hard. No one can live like that. Or you can get back on the bike and say, by thy grace, oh God, I'm going to ride that bike. And by thy grace, oh God, I'm going to stop. I'm going to live in your presence, and I'm going to go on to spiritual maturity. Folks, if you think it's done some other way, you've been deceived. Lied to. And so, 1 John, if we confess that He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, don't go on your sin. Proverbs 28, verse 13, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. That's what he's saying. The whole book's about this. Whosoever covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whosoever confesseth and forsaketh him shall have mercy. Now you're back in fellowship with the Almighty. And as you, that's why God sent His Son. God the Father sent His Son so that we could fellowship with God. And there'd be few that do it. Few that do it. Why is that? So John 15, verse 4, we talked about that, abiding in Christ. God wants you to walk in fellowship with Him every day. If you'll abide in me, that is, if you'll maintain fellowship with me, that's what it means. Maintain fellowship with me, certain things are going to happen in your walk now. You'll bear much fruit, get your prayers answered, and have the joy of the Lord in times of hardship, sorrow, and trouble. And you'll avoid that withered, dry, useless life as far as the cause of Christ is concerned. Fellowship with God is essential, okay? You can walk with God. You can talk to Him. You can fellowship with Him. And God can talk back to His kids through His Word and through the Spirit of God. And as God speaks to you through His Word and the Spirit of God, obey Him. Period. Do what He says. Go where He wants you to go. Bring your life in total submission to Him. Then you will discover what the Christian life is truly all about. And so, God met Adam and Eve in the cool of the day and walked and talked with them. You read that in Genesis chapter 3. Micah said, the whole duty of man is to walk up close with God. Micah 6:8, he has showed the old man what is good and what doth the Lord require of thee, to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. And I'm simply here and saying, it's not right It's not right that the 21st century Christian not walk in fellowship with Jesus Christ every day. And that's the problem with God's people. Jesus said, you're not abiding in me. That's why you're not producing fruit. The problem is, and that's your problem. That's the reason you're not producing fruit, getting your prayers answered, and enjoying the Lord, moving forward. You're not abiding in the vine. You're not abiding in fellowship. You're not abiding. You're not in fellowship with God. If you don't produce fruit in your life today, it's not because you're not mastered the Romans road. Romans 3:10, Romans 5:8, Romans 5:12. Wherefore shall a man cleanse his way? Why is that? Anyway, Romans 5:8, they got the minutes of love. You know those. It's not that you've not mastered that, so you've got a lot of head knowledge. Okay? It's not because you've not mastered the road. The problem is you're not abiding in Him. If your prayers are not getting answered, not because you're not taking time to pray, the problem is you're not abiding in Him. If you have no joy, it's not because you're under the weather. People are always under the weather. I choose not to be under the weather. I woke up this morning saying, God, this is the day you have made. And you were thinking about me. Praise God, bring the rain on. I mean, it's going to take more than rain to get me out of fellowship with thee. Isn't that great? How about 15 inches of rain? Wouldn't that be great? That'd be great, huh? See? You got to decide. Those are decisions that God's people need to make. And so Jesus said, if these things are not in you, the problem is you're not abiding in me. Now, quickly, He told me I could take another 5 minutes. Important to abide in Christ, prayer, fruit, joy. And you avoid a withered, dry, useless life. What are the two conditions to abide in Christ? Jesus said there are only two. And if you are not abiding in Him, if you've not learned to abide in Christ, you're violating one or both of these conditions. First, you must let His Word abide in you. Look at verse 7. If you abide in me, we talked about that fellowship with God, avoid a withered, dry, useless life. And conjunction, I didn't even know what that was when I first came here. They asked me, I said, what's that word? Yeah, she says, what's that word? I said, and. She said, what part of speech is it? I said, well, ma'am, I didn't know parches have speeches. Speeches have parts? She looked at me like, are you for real? They stuck me in 8th grade English. Some of you are going to get an 8th grade English. You know what Miss Betty Bond did? You know what Miss Betty Bond did for me? She said, Norman. I said, yeah. You're not ready for 8th grade English. I said, man, you telling me? She started me in 3rd grade English at 35. I wish she took me to kindergarten. But she took me in 3rd grade, 2-3 hours a day. I mean, he was serious. You got a problem? Go talk to him. They've been through some things. They can help you. Faculty and staff, they've already been there and done that. You don't have to make the awful mistake they made. Anyway, so we've all done it. You know what I'm saying? We are what we are by the grace of God. That's all we are. God did it. If you've learned anything, God did it. If there's something going to go in your mind this morning, God did it. And so, all right, you must let His Word abide in you. So hear them. Abiding in Christ, letting His Word, the Word of God, abide in you are the very same thing. It's important that you get that. Psalm 119:9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written there. Psalm 1, blessed the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth with a sinner, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. His delight is in the Green Bay Packers. No, that's not what it says. His delight in the soap operas, in football. No, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law that he meditate day and night. That ought to be normal. I walk with God. Yeah, sure you do. Yeah, come on. Ain't no telling what God might do with you if he had all there is of you. See, we like to divide our life in little compartments. Lord, you can have a little bit here, a little bit here. You ain't getting over here. It don't work that way. Don't take another 10 years to figure it out. Don't work that way. He can't not be Lord of most of it, 10% of it. He's got to be the Lord of your life. Period. That's it. You don't hear stuff like this no more. I think they're afraid. Afraid you're going to turn away. Anyway, many of you are listening to me. That's not letting God's Word abide in you. For some of you, it's going in one ear and right out the other. I dare to say tomorrow, you'll have forgotten what you've heard today. There could be some other reasons why, but letting God's Word abide in you is taking the truth of God's Word, not letting it go. You say, preacher, what must I do? Before you go to bed, no, before you leave, you need to go over your mind. You say, God, what did you teach me today? I mean, that guy was something all of him, but at least he taught me something. You know, if I'll abide in you and bring forth fruit, get my prayers out and have joy in the Lord, I'll avoid a withered, dry, useless life for the cause of Christ. Keep a short count of sin, you know, and then you need to go over it in the morning. Uh-oh. Then you need to go over it in a week. Then you need to go over it in 2 weeks. Then a year from now, then and only then are you letting His truth, His Word, abide in you. Period. That's it. Yeah. So that's why I'm pointing. Let His Word abide in you. What did He say? Now that's the first condition. The second condition, quickly, if you're going to take it in, if you're going to take it in, the truth in, then you need to obey it. It'll be obedient to what you know, just don't be a doer, a hearer, but be a doer of the Word. You remember what James talked about that? But be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Well, you may be a hearer of the word, not a doer. He's like the enemy holding his natural face in class. You remember? So a spiritual Christian is a hearer and a doer of God's word. A carnal Christian is not. We have too many carnal Christians today. Spiritual Christian is a hearer and a doer of the word. And so, Joshua 8, this book of the law, we talked about that. And now you got to be a doer of the word. John 15, verse 10. It's in the book. Look in the text. John 15, verse 10. If you keep my commandments, you should abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So what was he saying? He's simply saying this, that you need to do what the Bible says to do and keep from doing what it says not to do. Now, the Bible says, obey every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. Does it say that? Okay. Are you supposed to stop at a stop sign? Yes or no? If God's people just stop at a stop sign, they're going to make a mess out there. I mean, you don't have to do a whole lot. Just stop at a stop sign. I had one pastor. He said, I got that one. I said, well, you missed three. He said, well, you keeping count? I said, not like the Lord. Not like the Lord. Y'all get out much? You know what I'm saying? It's amazing. I have pastors, Brother Stevens, where are you at? I said, I have to stop and look. You know, it's 35, you see, and they're going 45, 55, and I'm back here at 35, and I'm makes for a long week, you know. And I'm looking up, and I'm thinking, well, it's Broadway and 20. What you doing at Broadway and 22nd? I said, well, you took on off and left me back here. And after the third time, they get it. They get it, you know. They realize they don't go so fast no more. I love God. You love God? He said, if you love me, obey me. You take this in. He said, when he teaches you something, you do what the Bible says to do. Don't, regardless of what everybody else says. If you're going with the crowd, the majority, it could be bad. All right. Anyway, so, okay, this is it. So, when you do not abide in God's word, obey the word of God, or you allow sin in your life, you're not abiding in Christ. We'll talk about it tomorrow and then see how much you remember.